Good to be here this evening and to be able to present this lesson. I'm thankful for the invitation to come and be a part of this gospel meeting. I have been preaching for 75 years, and still it's just such a part of my life that I always welcome an opportunity to speak wherever I can. And so I appreciate the opportunity of being with you tonight. I suppose that most of you have heard of the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer is a prayer that is used by and taught to the members of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a good prayer, and it's one that actually all of us could learn, and I think it would be well for all of us to memorize this prayer and to incorporate it in our prayers from time to time. It goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Some things are simply beyond our control. We don't do anything about it. On the other hand, there are other things that we can do something about. We can change if we will to do so. And we know that it takes wisdom to know the difference between these two kinds of things. And really, all of us need wisdom, and we can have it. The beautiful thing is that God has promised us wisdom if we ask for it. We read, for example, in James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's a wonderful promise, and it's one that all of us need to avail ourselves of. So as we go through this lesson, let's think of, you know, what this wisdom would require of us. I want to make a comparison in our study tonight, and the lesson is entitled Wisdom to Know the Difference. And I want to make this comparison between things that I cannot change and yet some change things that I can change. First of all, I want to suggest that I cannot change the past, and neither can you. You know, the past is what I can recall it. I'm sure that many of us would like to go back and change some things in our life, but we just simply can't do that. But there are other things that we certainly can and should change. I'd like to suggest some of the things that we cannot change and some of the things that we can. We can't change the fact that all of us have experienced some past slights and hurts and wrongs that have been done to us. I doubt that there's a single person in the audience this evening that has had some of these things in your past. There have been people who have slighted you, or who have said things about you, or who have wronged you in certain ways, hurt your feelings. And, you know, we sometimes allow those things just to linger and fester in our hearts. But they're in the past, and we cannot change the fact that they happened. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us what we can do about such things. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ. So that's something we can do with those things that we cannot change. We can actually forget about them. Now, another thing that belongs to the past and things which we cannot change is past losses and defeats and failures. And again, every single one of us has experienced some of these. We've all lost some things in the past that we wish we hadn't lost. We've been defeated in various efforts. We've failed at different times. And there's not a thing we can do. We can't go back and recall those things and change them. They belong to the past. There are past sorrows, past heartaches that we have endured. Every single one of us have had our share of sorrow in our life. We have certainly had heartaches of various kinds, but we simply cannot do anything about such things as these. I want to share with you an article that actually illustrates what I am saying. The Civil War left a tragic aftermath of bitterness, hatred, and resentment in America. The wounds inflicted by the war were deep and painful. The angry recriminations went on. Many could not forget or forgive what had been done. Exchanges between former enemies rarely rose above angry accusations and scornful denunciations. One man who refused to participate in or to condone this terrible harvest of bitterness was General Robert E. Lee. Lee, in word and deed, urged reconciliation between North and South. He knew that the war was over and that the future of the nation demanded a new attitude for a new day. To this day, or to the day of his death, the Gray Knight was never heard to speak an unkind word about those who had formerly been his enemies. Lee even opposed the erection of Confederate monuments because he thought they would only serve to keep wartime passions alive. On one occasion, a lady in Lexington, Virginia, where Lee lived after the war, showed him the scarred remains of a tree that was in her yard. All the limbs had been shot off by federal artillery during a raid. Thinking that the general would share her sense of outrage, she began to comment. After a pause, he said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it." Good advice, that. Cut it down and forget it. And that also is good advice with reference to these things of the past that we simply cannot change. Forget about them and go on with life. Past mistakes and sins, something else that all of us have experienced. I doubt that there's a single person in this audience that has in the past made some mistakes, committed sin. All of us have. And I'm sure there are times when every one of us thinks about that and would like to go back and change some things that we did in the past. But we simply can't do that. When I lived in Birmingham, Alabama, there was a brother in the congregation where I was preaching that was a very fine Christian, good man. But I noticed from time to time that he was quite depressed. And so I asked him one day if he minded to tell me what the problem was. After a pause, he told me, he said, "Well," he said, "you know, I keep thinking about some of the bad things that I did before I became, and it just really bothers me when I think about such things as that." And so I asked him, I said, "Well, you repented of that, didn't you?" "Yes." "And Do you suppose that God forgave you of those things? He said, oh, yes, I think so. Well, if God forgave you of those things, don't you think you could forgive yourself? And it seemed to change his attitude after that. But that's true. Things that we have done in the past, we can repent of them. We can correct them as far as possible. But that's as far as we can go. God can forgive us, and we need to just forgive ourselves and go on with life. Now, Philippians 3 and verse 13, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have seized upon, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, that's something every single one of us can do and should do with reference to things in the past that we cannot change. No, we can't change the past at all. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can change our future, and you can alter your future. Now, you might say, well, now, how on earth is that possible? How can I change? There are a number of ways, a number of things we can do that will change the future. To begin with, we can change the future by examining the directions that we're now traveling, by looking at our footsteps and seeing which direction they're going, and by asking ourselves the question, if I continue to go in the same direction that I'm going right now, where will I be in a year from now or in 10 years from now? Where will my family be if I continue in the same path that I'm following now? We need to think about that. We need to examine our direction. The wise man said, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Think about where you're going. And by changing your direction, you can alter your future. Again, in Proverbs 22 and 3, he said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The simple means the foolish ones. They just keep on doing the same thing all the way. And what happens is they don't get where they want to go. In fact, they get somewhere they don't want to go. So we can change our future by examining our direction. But we can also alter our future by setting some proper goals. You know, goals are extremely important. Someone said, he who aims his nothing is certain to find it. If we aim at nothing, that's what we're going to come up with. We need to have some worthwhile goals. And we need to help our family have worthwhile goals in life. Because goals can help us to accomplish so much. Now, what happens many times is, well, I'm going to do that. You know, here, coming up in a month or two or 6 months from now, I'm going to do thus and so. Well, why wait 6 months? Why not start immediately to set some goals that you can accomplish? Now, of course, the goals have to be realistic, but nevertheless, we can change our future by setting proper goals. Another way in which we can alter our future is by faith. Faith, first of all, in God. And secondly, faith in ourselves. We need to have faith in God. We need to realize that God is for us, that God will help us if we're trying to do what's right. Psalms 37:5. The psalmist said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust in him. The Lord knows what is best. And we need to have faith in him. And by having faith in him, we can change our future. But not only do we need faith in Him, but we need faith in ourselves. We need to realize that we can do maybe more than we thought we could do. Because if we don't have faith in ourselves, we're not likely to accomplish very much. Someone said, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out of the world, we find success begins with the fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. So, let's have faith in ourselves. Let's have faith in God, and we can change our future if we do. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And he did. Paul accomplished so much against so many oppositions and so much persecution. And yet, look what he accomplished. And he did it because God helped him. He did it through Christ who strengthens him. You can do the same thing. And so can I. Another way that we can alter our future is by prayer. Prayer is a very powerful thing. You remember, for example, King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. King Hezekiah was a king of Judah, and he was one of the few better kings of the southern kingdom. And on an occasion, he was about to die. In fact, we read in 2 Kings chapter 20, it said, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near dead. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember me, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then it happened, before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. See, he changed his future by prayer. And Paul assures us in James 5 and verse 16 that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That is so true. Prayer is powerful. And prayer is within the reach of every one of us. It's something we all can do. We can pray and can change our future in so doing. But we can alter our future also by making wise choices now. You know what our problem is many times is we say, oh, I'm going to make some changes, all right. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to start just in a few months. Maybe whenever the new year comes along, and that's the time when most people make resolutions, and I'll make some resolutions then, and then I'll go ahead with that. Of course, they forget that they made resolutions the last time, you know, the last first day of the year, and they didn't keep those either. So it's not very likely that they're going to keep resolutions if they put it off and wait until New Year's Day. Or even if we put it off until a month or 2 months, we need to make these resolutions and to make these choices now. Now is the accepted time. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua told the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. Not tomorrow, not next week. Choose this day whom you will serve. And again in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, Paul said, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. The clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to know just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, because the hands may then be still. So we can change our future in these ways. Well, I want to suggest that something else we cannot change is our physical characteristics. You know, we can't change the way that we look. We cannot change our basic features, our height, our hair, our beauty, or our blemishes that might be on our bodies. We just can't change those things. Now, we can cover them up. You know, we can dye our hair, or we can put on high heels to make us look a little taller. Or you know, we can, some people can put on kind of stuff that will make them prettier. Or they can hide some blemishes maybe that they have. But those are all artificial. And they're not really changing anything. We can't change our basic natural features. Jesus said, you cannot make one hair white or black. And again he said, which of you by worry can add one cubit to his stature? We just can't do it. You know, Doug Clemens lived in the same town in Arkansas as a kid. His family lived there. And he was in a Bible class that my wife was teaching. I think he was about 7 years old at the time that we were there. It's been, 70 years ago since that occasion. And Doug, of course, grew up, and eventually, you know, his hair turned white. He's got white hair. Mine just turned loose. And there's nothing that I can do about that. There's nothing he can do about that. He could dye it, I suppose. But it wouldn't be his. It wouldn't be natural. It would be counterfeit. And I suppose that I could get somebody else's hair and make a wig and put it on and maybe look different. But it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be me. It would be counterfeit. And we just can't change the fact that, you know, we have these natural blemishes or natural features. And we might like to, and we might try to, but we just can't. And something else we can't change, and that's our gender. I can't change my gender. You can't change yours. In spite of the fact that there is such a movement in our nation and throughout the world to convince children and young people that they can do that. Boys are told, now if you don't want to be a boy, you can be changed into a girl. Or a girl is saying, if you don't want to be a girl, you can be changed into a boy. All you have to do is go through all these expensive surgeries that mutilate the body. But guess what? Even when that happens, you have not changed anything. Oh, you may have changed your appearance. You may look like a girl, may look like a boy. A boy may look like a girl. But guess what? They're still what they were born with. A prominent geneticist made this observation. He said, is the presence of this Y chromosome that determines a person's biological sex. Whatever set of chromosomes a person has when they are born cannot be changed. So you can't change your gender, regardless of how much you might like to do that or try to do that, you can't. The reason is because such things are determined by your genes. Just like our height and our hair and physical beauty or not a physical beauty, these are determined by our genes. And there's just not anything we can do about it. However we were born is how we are. But I tell you what we can change. You can change your character, and I can change my character. The character really is the inward man, the real person. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, the apostle said, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man day by day. Now, that's a great and wonderful thing, that we can change our inward man. We can change our character. We can change who we really are. God gave us the ability to do that. Peter says, do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging of hair, of wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. We can change that character, that inward man, and that means we can change our habits if we need to. Some of us probably need to. Or we can change our appearance if we need to. Some of us may need to do that. If a person is given to dressing sloppy and in a way that is inappropriate and immodest, they can change that. They have that ability. God gave them the power to make the changes in their appearance. We can change our attitude. If we haven't had the kind of attitude we should, we can change that. God made it possible for us to change our attitude. Now, I'll tell you what we cannot change. We can't change how other people act. That is, how they use their tongue, the lack of self-control that they may exhibit, or their selfishness or impatience. We can't change that in somebody else. Only they can do that. We cannot change it. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can change how I act. We can't change how others act, but I can change how I act. I have that power. I have that ability. God has given me that power, given you that power. That means that I can learn to control my tongue, whether anybody else does or not. I can learn to control my temper. I can learn to control my body. Forget about what other people do and be concerned about what you can do. 2 Peter 1:5 and 6, Peter said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. You can do that. You can add self-control to your character. Another thing we cannot change, and that is certain events of life. There are certain events of life we have no control over. Of course, we know that we can change our attitude toward those things, but as far as the events themselves, we can't change the events. For example, the advancement of age. You know what? We're getting older, every single one of us. In fact, it's been about 45 minutes since we came in and started this service. And you know what? Every single person here is 45 minutes older than you were when you came here. We get older with every minute. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps right on. Nothing stops it until death comes. We cannot stop it. So what do we do about it? Well, the wise man reminds us of the fact that we're all going to get old. He said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw nigh, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Yeah, it's happening. It's going to happen. Every one of us. Some of us has already gotten there and getting close to the final day of our life. And others are headed in that direction more rapidly than we'd like to think. So what do we do about that? Well, you know, some people dread the thought of that and fear it, don't even want to think about it, don't want to talk about it. But it's a reality, and we need to think about it. But really, you know, we're as old as we think we are. I don't care what our age is, we're as old as we think that we are. I like the attitude of this person in this poem. You tell me I'm getting old, I tell you that's not so. The house I live in is worn out, and that, of course, I know. It's been in use a long, long while. It's weathered many a gale. I'm really not surprised you think I'm getting somewhat frail. The color's changing on the roof. The window's getting dim. The wall's a bit transparent and looking rather slim. The foundation's not so steady as once it used to be. My house is getting shaky, but my house isn't me. My few short years can't make me old. I feel I'm in my youth. Eternity lies just ahead, a life of joy and truth. I'm going to live forever there. Life will go on. It's grand. You tell me I'm getting old? You just don't understand. The dweller in my little house is young and bright and gay, just starting on a life of ease throughout eternal day. You only see the outside, which is all that most folks see. You tell me I'm getting old. You've mixed my house with me. So we're as old as we think that we are. We need to remember, too, that the older we get, then usually the wiser we become. There may be exceptions to that. But with age comes wisdom, because people older have had more experience. In Job 12 and 12, it says, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days is understanding. And older folks can still be useful. Sometimes when we get older, we feel like, well, I'm just not worth anything. I can't do anything. And I might as well just go on, because there's just not anything I can do anyway. I don't feel good, and I just can't do anything. Oh, yeah, you can do something. You can still be useful. In Psalm 92, 13 and 14, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. You can still bear fruit, regardless of how old you get. You have that ability. In Proverbs 1:31, he says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And another thing that we need to just ponder, and that is that the older we get, the closer to heaven we come. You're 45 minutes closer to heaven right now than you were when you entered this building. And every day that passes, that much closer to heaven. When we realize that, facing death ought not to be such a terrible thought. Another thing that we can't change, and that's sickness and adversity and trouble, it comes to us all. I know that every person here has had their share of sickness and adversities of various kinds and troubles of various kinds. I don't think there's a single exception to that. Even children sometimes have to endure such things as sickness and troubles of different kinds. And so the older we get, the more we have. It's just going to happen. And we cannot change the fact that it's going to happen. Many times people, in response to that, will ask the question, why me? Why does these things happen to me? I feel like I'm a good person. I try to do what's right. And why does God let these things happen to me? And some people blame God for actually sending such things upon them. Some people just despair, give up when sickness and adversity and trouble invades their lives. Well, you know, we might ask, why does God actually allow these things to happen, especially to good people? Well, I don't know all the answers to that question. I think I know some of the answers. Perhaps it's to try our faith and to test our character. That may be one reason that God allows them to come. Or perhaps it's to make us more humble. We know that was one of the things that came upon Paul because, you know, Paul had an experience one time. He was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things that were unlawful for him to utter. Great, wonderful things, but it was unlawful for him to utter them. And then later it says, Paul said, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, lest I be exalted above measure. To make him humble. And maybe God allows these things to happen to us for the same reason, to make us humble. Or maybe it's to make us more sympathetic to other people who are suffering these things. I don't know. Probably a combination of these things. But they're going to come. And then there's the inequities of life. You know, life is not a fair thing at all. I mean, one sows, but another reaps the benefits. Or good people suffer like we've already suggested and we wonder why. And we try to do right, but we are abused. And our help of other people is not appreciated. It goes unnoticed. And all of this is not fair. But this is life. This is the way life is, and we have to accept it. David, in Psalm 73, he had a problem with some of these things. I'd like to read just a few verses from Psalm 73. Beginning in verse 2, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there was no bands in their death, and their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And in later in the chapter he says, verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy people, thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. You see, he had the experience of realizing that life was not fair to him at all. But then he realized, well, you know, God is going to take care of all that in time. In time, God will more than even the score. Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You think about that. I don't care how much we have to suffer. I don't care how many terrible things may happen in our lives. When it's all said and done, if we're faithful to God, the reward and the blessing that God will bestow upon us will far outweigh all of the difficulties and troubles and sickness and adversities and the problems of old age. All of that will mean nothing in comparison with what God has in store for us. And that should be something that would encourage every last one of us. Because death is coming, and judgment is going to come. We can't do anything to change that. You know, the apostle said, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. It's an appointment. It's going to happen. We can't avoid it unless we should happen to be living at the time the Lord comes. But if not, we're going to die. We're going to be judged by the Lord. I can't change that fact. But I'll tell you what I can change. I can change my relationship to God. I can get ready for it. I can change my relationship to God so that when that does happen, I will be safe and right with God. I have that power. I can change that. We're admonished. Amos admonished the people of Israel, prepare to meet thy God. Good advice for us. Psalms 90 and verse 12, the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Good advice. We ought to number our days in the sense that realize, you know, we may not have many days left. And we need to take advantage and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Get ready for it. Prepare ourselves in such a way as to correct our relationship with God. So let's separate what we can change from what we cannot change. And let's not worry over those things that we cannot change. Let's concentrate on changing the things that we can, and then wait for the Lord's blessing as a result. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a comforting and wonderful promise? But it will happen to us all. So if you should be in this audience and you have not made the right choices in life, if you have not established the right relationship with God, if you need to come and become a Christian, if you haven't done that, or to correct your life and make it right in the sight of God, there isn't a better time than right now. So while we stand and sing, if you need to come, will you do so?